listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Man, we're very fortunate to have this man right here in the Valley and how much access he gives our station here, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson. Dr. Hanson, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Trevor.
Now, I've been watching you lately on some of the TV shows out there, and I heard you say that we used to be merit-based, and now we're race-based, and they're not really thinking of the ramifications. What kind of ramifications you see coming off this not advancing people off merit?
Well, I mean, it affects that. Anytime you use criteria other than merit, I understand there's some considerations for social justice and social stability, but essentially, when you pick somebody for a job and it's not based on their skill sets or their educational excellence, and that job requires that, then you're going to have problems, whether it's an air traffic control or a surgeon or a lawyer in these very sophisticated tasks. I mean, it would be like saying that, you know, you're out there working on the tarmac and you've got a lot of heavy bags, but you're going to select people that are 65, 75 pounds, 13 years old, or, you know, somebody weighs 90 pounds who's 30 and they can't do the job because of certain criteria other than physical strength and work ethic. So all across our society, according to each of our stations, you have to have a merit-based. You know, I spent a long time in the Middle East when I was younger and traveled, I think, to every country, and I noticed one thing that struck me when you talk to bureaucrats or military officers or government officials or people in private industry in the Middle East, they tend to favor people who are their first cousin or closer, if you know what I mean. It's almost a tribal mentality. I'm not trying to stereotype them negatively, but a person feels more solidarity with somebody who's related to them than they do on a meritocratic basis. And so if you tell somebody in the Middle East, not everywhere, but in most places, I got a choice between hiring this guy as a bureau head in this bureau, this department. He's my first cousin. I don't know this person at all, but they've scored higher on the civil service. They'll always go with their first cousin.
You don't have to go to the Middle East. That sounds like Tennessee. You're describing Tennessee, Dr. Hanson.
Well, we have things in our own past, don't we? We have Tammany Hall in New York, and we've had that for years. And the irony of it is in the civil rights movement, and then before 1965, we had very talented, brilliant black people. And they were the victims of that same mentality, that people who were incompetent, in some cases really incompetent, who were white, were given jobs that were more talented black people. And we said, we're never going to do that again, because not only is it unfair, but it hurts the country as a whole. You want a guy like Tom Sowell, who made it on his merit, talking and instructing the country about economics. You want a Ben Carson, who's a level-headed observer of politics. You don't want to exclude people because of their race. And yet here we are now with Mr. Kendi's theory that to be an anti-racist, you have to be a racist. To stop discrimination, you have to discriminate. And there's no historical support that that's ever been effective or useful.
My guest, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson. Dr. Hanson, merit-based, can you imagine if the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, soccer weren't merit-based? I mean, that's the way society has been. But as we've seen these changes happen, I want to play 10 seconds of a comment that you made here.
They can always use their money and influence to dictate to others, but it will never come to them. But history shows it always comes to them. They're in the target, too, but they think their money and their privilege will protect them.
Now, history shows the Marxists always turn on the wealthy, and you say the Democratic Party doesn't quite understand that these days.
No, I don't think so. I think that they don't understand that if you're a high-level coder at Google or you're a board member at Facebook and you say we need more diversity and we have to base it on skin color, then what exempts you? Well, maybe your virtue signaling performance art leftism will save you for a while, but ultimately you're going to be targeted. And I can tell you that there's a lot of angry parents whose children got aced the SAT and the ACT, got, I don't know, 4.4s in advanced placement, because I've talked to them, at private schools in Palo Alto, Menlo Park, Princeton, New Jersey, and they didn't get into the Ivy League this year because they really upped the ratios that were race-based. for people of a particular, you know, racial or ethnic background. And the losers in that were white males. In some cases, they may have been only 15% of the student body that was admitted. And, you know, that's including athletes and legacies. So, but what I'm getting at is the rubric or the profile of their parents would be, I guess you would call them left or center, bi-coastal, urban, suburban professionals. And they all, when you talk to them, they really didn't think this was going to happen to them. This was going to be some guy from Fresno or Bakersfield, you know, who transferred from Fresno State, a white male. We're just not going to let that guy into Harvard or Princeton, but not them. But that's the logic of it. It always is going to be them. That's what the French Revolution was about. That's what they're all about. They always affect you. They always come back to haunt you when you don't play by merit or fairness or rule.
And the moment they realize that, it will be too late. Dr. Hansen, all the Delta variant talk, L.A. County remasking, Fresno County recommending this COVID variant there yesterday, Senator Rand Paul with Fauci. Do you think Fauci is actually with the NIH in Wuhan? Do you think he's really in trouble?
Yeah, I do, because he's contradicted himself. He's okay as long as he said, she said, and the left-wing media supports him. But when he has statements that contradict himself, there's a shelf life or a limit to that. So when he says masks would be ridiculous, then wear one mask, then wear maybe two. Or if he says herd immunity is 60, no, I mean 70. No, I mean 80. Or there's no connection whatsoever between the Wuhan lab and the virus's origins. But there might be, or there could be. Or there's no gain-of-function research going on, but there is a gain-of-function, but it's not the kind I mean. And when you get into that territory, or there won't be a vaccination before 2021, just forget it. That's a political statement. Well, maybe there will be after the election. Maybe in December we'll see one. So his own words, when they start to be used against him, people are going to say, you know, he's 80 years old. I don't understand why Donald Trump didn't just put his arm around him in March of 2020 and say, this is a distinguished public service servant. He's had a stellar record. He guided us through the AIDS epidemic, and I want to honor him as he retires at 80 and then get rid of him. But instead, he did the worst of both worlds. He made fun of the way he threw a baseball, and he tweeted about him, but he kept him on. That's the worst thing you can do, is to humiliate somebody but not fire him.
Well, Senator Paul seeking criminal referral against him. Department of Justice, you see Biden's Department of Justice moving on this?
I did. No, they will not. But in a fair and equitable world, they should, because he's obviously contradicted himself under oath. He has a thin skin, too. You saw him lose his temper, as if, how dare you insult His Highness Dr. Fauci. And I just don't... The whole vaccination thing, Trevor, is so strange and ironic, because we heard at this time last year, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were telling us not to get vaccinated with any vaccination that has anything to do with Donald Trump. And Fauci was saying, you know, we just don't rush vaccinations through. There's no way we're going to get it in 2020. Got to wait to 2021. And then they were saying, but you know what? If you do get it after the election, then you're kind of home free, because you really, you can't be infected. You can't spread it. That's what we heard. And then all of a sudden it was, and then we heard that Joe Biden, from Joe Biden's own mouth, that no one was ever vaccinated before he became president, even though 17 million were. And my point is only that we got so much misinformation. And when you're letting 2 million people in a 12-month period come across the southern border from areas that are hotspots of the variants, various mutations of the virus, and then you're telling people we're going to go door-to-door to vaccinate you if we have to, but these people are not going to be checked or tested or vaccinated. So what I'm thinking, I got the vaccination. I'm over 65. I recommend everybody does it. The cost-benefit analysis, I think it's wiser if you're over 65 to get it. But they've lost so much credibility that it's going to be very hard to convince people now what they should do, because they're utterly contradictory and politically, you know, they're not neutral. And I think they've destroyed their credibility, they being the medical community and the political community.
Dr. Hansen, what was your experience with the vaccine like? Do you have any side effects?
I did. I have I've had an immune problem for a number of years that I take a medication for, so I was kind of hesitant. I had the Moderna. I had no problem whatsoever. I had the second shot a month later, and I think I had 102 temperature for 4 days. And I mean, it was like a bad case of the flu. And I think after the third day, I could get up and get around. And then for about a week, I was tired. But I had no lasting effects. But I've talked to people, and my wife, who says she's never had the flu and she's never been vaccinated and she's got super immune, she got the Johnson & Johnson, was flat on her back for 2 days. And my daughter, who had the Pfizer, had no problem with the first shot, and she got very sick like I did for the second. So I just saw a statistic that says 25% had a reaction to the second shot that was noticeable flu-like. And I think that sort of fits my experience of people I know that had it.
Yeah, my.
But it's very. It's some people had nothing at all. In fact, the more robust I met younger people in their 30s and 40s and 50s, they seem to have a harder time with the second shot than people in their 70s and 80s.
Well, I was going to say my brother is 52, and he got a blood clot. But he did the Johnson & Johnson, and he has a rash on his arm that will not go away for over a month now. So that's side effects from him. Dr. Hansen, in closing, thank you again for the time you give us. Everybody out there, if you went, hey, who's the richest in America, Republicans or Democrats? Well, I guess after 40 years of drumming in that it's Republicans, you made a good point this week. I'd like you to share with the listeners in the Valley.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the 20 zip codes where the wealthiest Americans live, all 17 of those zip codes voted Democratic. If you look at the 20th congressional districts, 20 of them, by income levels, the wealthiest went Democratic. If you look at per capita income, 75% of those under 100,000 voted Republican, 65% over voted Democratic. I could go on with the data, but it shows you that this is not the Democratic Party we used to know. It talked about the working common man. This is a party of bi-coastal, wealthy, powerful people. And the Republican Party is not really the Mitt Romney stereotype of the rich white guy on the golf course. Nothing wrong with that, but it's a workers, populist, middle-class party now. And I think the Democrats know that. And the last shoe to fall is going to be, I think a lot of Latinos and blacks are starting to see that they have more in common with a white forklift driver than they do Oprah, in the way that maybe you and I don't even care about our race, but we don't have anything in common with Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates. That, in other words, class is starting, I think it's starting to slowly replace race because of the ridiculousness of Oprah or Meghan Markle posing as a victim of racism in their multi-million or even multi-billion dollar class. And I think the same is true of the white community to the extent that it exists, and that as a distinct conscious group. I just think that most people don't think they have a lot in common with that bi-coastal, liberal, very wealthy Silicon Valley, corporate, Wall Street elite. I don't. I have a lot more common with people who are Mexican-American that I see every day in Selma. I mean, I know them. They're my friends. They're my community. And it's incidental of no interest to me that they're Hispanic. What's in interest is they have common values that I have as a middle-class person. And when I go to Stanford, I have nothing in common with the Stanford faculty, zero. And when I leave Palo Alto, I feel a sigh of relief. But this idea that we're all going to be categorized by racial solidarity and loyalties is absurd. And I think that that's going to hurt the Democratic Party.
Dr. Hansen, I love how you put words together. More in common with a forklift driver than Oprah. Thank you, sir. In closing, I always say closing, but in closing, are you behind anybody in the recall yet?
I haven't. You know, I've just been... I kind of know Larry Elder. I don't know what his chances would be, but I have a feeling they're very afraid that he would siphon off some African-American voters in key districts, I guess, key areas from Gavin Newsom. But I don't know why they went after him, but it was very unfair. He's going to be the most articulate of all the Republican candidates, even though he doesn't have political experience, because I think he'd surprise a lot of people from the Larry Elder that I've met and known over the years.
Indeed. Dr. Victor Davis Hansen, sir, thank you, and appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Who would have guessed decriminalizing theft would have incentivized theft? Well, it's happening in California next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.